this second message that I'm going to do is entirely different than the previous two, which centered in primarily on Israel and what's going to happen and what things we should be aware of. But this one is a little bit different in that, you know, in the 21st century, I think the classic summary of just about all the world is, this is all about me. I think that's just kind of the way it is. Any of us who say, oh, I wish the world wasn't that way, I'm not that way, I don't think that's true at all. I think almost all of us who live, certainly in this country, think a lot about how everything revolves around me. Now, some of us do a better job than others, but I still think that's fairly relevant. And the message that I have this evening is really talking about when why happens to us. Now, maybe you've never asked that question, why? There's a number of circumstances I think you can. In my own family, within the last 2 or 3 years, I've seen two of my relatives go to the nursing home. That's not always an easy thing. And both those people who went had the faculties. Their brains were capable of comprehending what was happening, but their bodies were the reason why it was happening. And you wonder, were they glad to go? No, they really weren't glad. Was this something that they wanted to do? Ooh, I can hardly wait to get into that new place to live. No. Just recently, we on TV, if you've watched the fires that are raging through California, there's some homes near those fires. And I suppose there'll be some people there saying, why is this happening to my house? Especially if you think about it, just a year before that, there was so much rain in California, so much rain, that mudslides were everywhere. And I watched some houses just fall off a cliff. Why? I think if I were to take you back to, say, January around 2006, Virginia, there were 13 coal miners' families who got incredibly distressed families. There were some wondering why this happened to go down to Florida. People usually like to go down there between January or even November if they can make it. November to, say, April. Very nice time to go down to Florida. However, if you're down there between, say, June and November, over the last few years, those people are pretty panicked over weather. And I've had a chance to go down there over the last couple of years and still see blue tarp. Blue tarp everywhere. Still. Roofs unrepaired. And I suppose you could ask the question, why? Just recently, in Virginia again. Just in today's paper, before I left, I saw that there were a couple families who received the degrees that their relatives were supposed to receive, but couldn't because 32 people, students, young people, murdered in cold blood in a moment of time. Certainly the question could be asked, why? Why? 51 years ago in a couple months, Christianity, Christians wondered, why? There are five men, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Roger Yoderman, Peter Fleming. These were the cream of the crop. These were men in their middle, late 20s, early 30s, graduates of Wheaton, some of them, intellects, physical specimens, great men of God, doing a work solely committed to God, and they were murdered, killed. Why? I wish I could answer. I wish I could tell you, oh, Here's why. I think there's some questions that I certainly am not capable of answering. But I think we have to say that why will happen to us. It will happen to us. It could be a disease that you have to confront or that a relative has to confront. It could be an unexpected death in your family. It could be any number of awful things. But the fact of the matter is, once a baby comes into the world, from that very moment, that baby is living in a world that is subjected to Y events all the time. And inevitably, can't tell you when, can't tell you how, Y will happen to us. So I can't answer those questions, but I can say, well, what do we do when Y happens to us? Since it is going to happen. First, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 13, because Jesus was in a situation that was a Y event. It was interesting the way he handled it. In chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It seems that Jesus had an event that just happened that was a why question, and he didn't address it. He didn't even, why did those 18 people die? He didn't answer. What he did say, except you repent, you're going to perish. It seems that why questions are going to inevitably happen regardless of anything we do or say or whatever. It will happen to us. And so as a result of that, what I'd like us to do is try to answer that question, not so much with the answer, well, here's why, but rather, what should we do when why happens to us? And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 17. This is one of the 19 prayers that Jesus has. I think it's an interesting one, sometimes called the high priestly prayer. It is an important prayer. And I think it will, I hope at least it will. And actually, I'd like us to first look at chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus says this, "These things," that is the things previous to this verse, "I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." In Yiddish we have a word for troubles. It's called tsuris. Tsuris. Some Jewish people are very, very superstitious about tsuris, and believe that they can rain tsuris down upon them if they don't say things right or don't knock on wood or whatever. And there's a lot of that. Jesus here is saying, if you're in the world, you're going to have tsuris. There's no question about that. You will have troubles. But Jesus has spoken these things that in the midst of the tsuris, I can provide peace. Now that's something to pay attention to. Because I can guarantee each one of us, if we haven't had any yet, and I don't think that's true, I'd like to meet you if you haven't. Boy, I'd really like to meet you. Must have great health foods you're eating, and Your family is like Ozzie and Harriet, and man, I'd just like to meet you. But, might be, but you will have service. But in the midst of that, Jesus said, you can have peace. And one of the reasons is when we're in a why situation, we need to be reminded that we can be overcomers. That's really the first thing. In the midst of a why situation, in Christ, that's an important condition, but in Christ, we can be overcomers. In Romans, Paul writes about the fact that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, what usually happens in a why situation is you focus on the situation. I can talk from experience. Our people are supposed to be pretty emotional people. Ask my wife, who's German and Swedish background, when an event happens, she responds a whole lot different than I do. They say if you take a Jewish person and tie their hands together, they won't be able to speak. It's probably true. So I can tell you that when an event happens, from my perspective, that's a why event, my tendency is to focus immediately on the problem. All my energy, all my focus is on the why. And that is the wrong thing to do if I'm in Christ, which I am. The thing we ought to do is focus in on Christ. Because we already know why it's going to happen. We ought to be tapped into Him. Our focus ought to be on the person who provides peace when the water is smooth and when the water is rough. He's steady. So we're overcomers. And that's an important thing to remember. So whenever the why happens to you, the question is, who are you going to focus on? The situation or the person? Jesus, as he faces ultimately, remember, he's human. We talked about this yesterday. 100% human. But he's God as well. 100% God. He's talking about the fact that in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yet he already knows that he's going to face the cross. And by the way, the cross is painful. Very painful. The cross is lonely. The cross is humiliating. Every kind of emotion, every kind of thing you can think of in the cross is usually what we face in a why situation. And he faced it. He faced it. The second thing we can do in a why situation is it said, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. In a why situation, the person to focus on and to give glory to is Jesus Christ. Now, again, the human tendency is not to do that. And I claim being guilty for that. But the way to deal with it is to specifically say in that situation, God, how can Christ get the glory? That's the question. How can Jesus Christ, if there's a fire brewing in California and I'm living there, how can Jesus Christ get the glory in that fire? A friend of mine lives in Florida, just a little north of Miami. Hurricane was coming. I mean, bad. And they lost power. They lost power for 2.5 weeks. They also, it was difficult to get gasoline, all those things. How can God get the glory when I'm roasting with 100% humidity and 95 degree temperatures, the food in my refrigerator is rotten? How can God get the glory? Well, my friend decided that he would have a cookout. It's what he decided to do. He took all the food in his fridge when it happened, slapped down a few grills, and started to cook, and invited everybody in the area, hey, let's feast. And that's what he did. Well, why are you doing all this? Aren't you crazy? You know, we're crazy. Aren't you crazy? Well, I'm not too happy about this, but you know what? We wouldn't have met. And he's establishing all these relationships. And those that he already knew, he's trying to solidify. Why happened to him? Oh, you know, shingles flying, rain and all that stuff. But when it cleared, he said, okay, God, how can you get the glory in this situation? So, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. When why happens to you, number one, we can be overcomers. Number two, we can glorify God. Number three, we can finish our work. We can finish our work. Now, do I mean your job? Maybe. I don't know what your job is. But I do believe that we're called to do a work for Him. That work for Him could involve your job. Absolutely it could. But it could also involve something else that God's called you to do. And that's exercise your gifts. So we just had music. Music is a gift. God's called you to sing or to play the piano or whatever it is. When a why happens to us, we can make sure that we finish our work. The tendency will be to focus in on the problem and thus remove ourselves from the call that we have because we're obsessed with the problem. Jesus knew what his calling was. He came for a specific purpose, and he was going to finish his task. And then when his task was finished, ultimately his calling is to die, but he had a ministry as well. And when that work is finished, then he would go and accomplish what he was called to do. So when a why happens to you, you can make sure that you finish your work. Finish the call that you have. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Another thing we can do when why happens to us is we can manifest his name. So regardless of what situation that is, now the tendency will be, oh no, you don't understand. Oh, believe me, I understand how you could say we don't understand. None of this has ever happened to you. You don't know what I'm going through. That might be true. That absolutely might be true. And I'd submit to you that it's much easier for somebody who's traveled that same road to relate to somebody who's traveling the road. All that's true. But the bottom line is when a why happens, it's an opportunity for you to represent the King. And oh, by the way, if you are a believer and going through a difficulty and choose not to try to manifest his name, you will do it anyway. Only the way you're manifesting his name, since you're called a Christian, if others watch you, their view of how you are handling your why is that God isn't sufficient for you. You're manifesting his name in a way that shows lack of strength, lack of security, lack of peace, etc. So you will manifest his name. The question is, how will you manifest his name? I'd submit to you that we're all, I don't know every single person here, but if you're here, trusted Christ, you're a trophy for Jesus Christ. If you've ever been to a high school or college, they have a trophy case. It's usually in a prominent place. In a college, it's usually in the sports gym area. If it's a high school, it's usually in the entryway somewhere. There's big cabinets, glass cabinets, and they have those trophies. I've looked at a lot of them through the years. And some of them look fabulous. The trophies are shined. The things look like they were just placed there. The lighting is wonderful. Everything looks great. It seems that they are really proud of the accomplishments that they've had. On the other hand, I've been to some where it might be a long time since they had anything they won recently, so they kind of forgot about the other trophies. And they're all tarnished. And the lighting isn't all that good. And the cloth that they used in the background is bad. And it's like, ugh, terrible. Either way, they are testimonial to the school, either positive or negative. And so when a why happens to us, the question can be asked, or stated, rather, we can manifest his name. How can I manifest his name? You can manifest his name in a positive way. Because whatever is happening to you or to those around is happening for a purpose, even if we can't identify that purpose. Well, the next thing, verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You can declare his name. It's very similar to the previous one in manifesting his name. We manifest his name through our life. We declare his name with our mouth. They're the same, but they're different. When something happens to you, the why, how do you react? What's your response? Do you manifest his name? Do you declare his name in a glorious way? Or do you focus in on the issue and almost back away from any kind of power and authority of the living God? And then verse 13 says this, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. When a why happens to you, do you feel joy? Joy. Now, wait a minute. I'm sick. I'm dying. I'm in a war. My house is burning. My house is being flooded with water. My sister has been murdered. Name the issue. How can a person be happy? Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say happy. It says joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is a dangerous kind of message to preach. It's dangerous on a number of counts. If you're superstitious, my people are, oh boy, something's going to drop on me. And certainly it can. The whole idea of preaching something like this also projects, oh, he thinks he knows. He doesn't have any idea how bad things can be. Absolutely true. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ was about to face the cross. I do know this, that situations that happen today are like the situations that happen in his day. And I do know this, that God knows his creatures. And we're subjected to a sin-sick world that is going to manifest that sin sickness in so many ways, and we are as subject to them as anyone else. It rains on believers, the sun scorches on believers, as well as unbelievers. But the text says that we should joy. That is, if I am in Christ and these situations manifest themselves, I need to somehow dig in and tap in to the person who can provide me the fruit of the Spirit by leaning on him, by resting in him, by trusting in him. Why is it going to happen? How am I going to respond when it does? I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 90 and verse 12. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says this: "So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I can't tell you how long you and I are going to be here. The Church of Jesus Christ has historically believed, from the time of the birth of the Church at Pentecost, that at any moment, at any time, Jesus Christ can call us home. Our circumstances often make us embed ourselves into the earth. Nothing became more clear for me than the time I found out that I had to leave this area. We were in Buffalo Grove at the time. And I was asked to leave to replace my boss. I asked, "Oh, could I stay here and do that?" "Well, no, you have to come to the home office." Well, that meant I had to pull my roots out of the ground. Now, they weren't only my roots. They were my wife's roots and four children's roots as well. And, ooh, I heard a lot about that. One of them, "This is your call of God, not my call of God." You're right. Pulling roots out is very painful. Trusting God to do something you're not 100% sure about is difficult. Traveling a road that no one else around you has ever traveled before is really difficult. But if we train ourselves, and that's a key, train ourselves to be reminded of this: I'm an ambassador here at Earth. So the roots that I had in the ground in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, quite frankly, too deep. Way too deep. That's why it hurt so much when I had to pull them out. If I'm an ambassador for Christ, that means I'm just passing through. It's a temporary place. But when you have to pay a mortgage and your kids are in school, and you got a car payment, and you got family, you got all these issues that you have to deal with, the tendency is, oh, I focus on all these things and forget that I'm merely passing through. So, what do you do when why happens to you? Well, I hope that just by hearing some of these things, that if you're not going through a why right now, prepare for one. Just get to know Christ as deep and as long and as hard as you can, so when that why happens, your response will be a biblical one. Well, what about if you're going through a why right now? Your marriage. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate Mother's Day. That's a positive and a negative. Oh, I know. You know, one thing is true. We all had or have mothers. Now, we might have never met our mother before. Our mother might be dead. They're all different situations. But I'm not saying everything is hunky-dory. What I am saying is that we ought to prepare ourselves when a why happens. And if we're in the midst of a why, we ought to say, "Lord, teach through this." Now, there's another thing, and I'll close with that. This is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus during this time. And we learn in verse 9 where it says, "I pray for them." I pray for them. When why happens to you, you obviously can pray for yourself. But you can also solicit prayer. When why happens to somebody we know, we ought to get down on our knees and help that person, encourage that person in any way we can, but also through prayer. Jesus did that, and we ought to do that. Because when why happens, we need strength.
We need miracle kind of strength that only can be supplied by the Spirit of God. And when God's people petition God Almighty together on behalf of those who are going through the why, it can transform your life. Doesn't mean it solves the problem. In fact, prayer might only help in that you find out why you're going through the why. It might not answer that question, but might provide for you strength to go through the why. It might come to a point that as you're going through the why, somebody else is going through the same why you're going through, and you're able to help them. I can't answer all those situations, but I can say this, that when we are going through the why, we ought to try to be what Jesus Christ was as he prepared to go through a situation that he said himself, if there's any other way, if it be your will, the question, if it be your will, but if there's any other way, I don't want to do this. But there wasn't any other way. That was God's will. That's what he came for. But his human side dictated that he's saying, look, I want to submit to you. My situation is here, and I'm yielding to you. So, you and I, it's the same thing. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a room this large with the people that we have, undoubtedly there are people going through a lot. Lord, it's an economic difficulty can be such pressure upon us. A bill that needs to be paid yesterday. A relative that's in need of finances that we don't have to help them. It could be that we have a relationship problem. Awful problem that involves maybe violence, maybe abuse verbally, all kinds of situations that we're walking a trail that is very difficult and even dangerous. It could be a debt in the family, someone that we're missing so badly, wondering why did that happen. It could be a disease, a difficulty, medical problem that we're experiencing, great pain that we have, uncertainty. Father, I pray, regardless of the situation, regardless of the why, Father, I pray for each one of us, especially if we think about tomorrow morning coming, the first day of the week, the breaking of bread, the focus in on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, bruised and beaten and ultimately crucified for us. Shedding of his blood, which paid for our sins. Father, we think of him and the difficulties he faced and the whys that he faced and realize he took that trail for us. And so regardless of what our situation is, help us to be people who manifest his name, who declare his name, who understand that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, that we're overcomers. Father, I pray that each one of us would take that situation and be reminded that we're ambassadors for Christ, temporary place here on earth, and that our purpose is to finish the work that you called us to do. Our purpose is to bring honor and glory to the King regardless of our circumstances. And while that's so easy to pray for, Lord, I realize that it's much harder to live. And so I pray that through the Spirit of God, you would empower us, each one of us, to be encouragers, exhorters, lovers of your people, that we would stand beside those in need and be ready to receive those who stand beside us when we're in need. And in all the circumstances, bring honor and glory to you. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.